morning, everybody. I'm Larry Roberts.
And I'm Sarah Losey. And this is Branded, your comprehensive guide to creative branding.
And on this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk all about Sarah.
Oh, God. I'm not ready. You start. You talk about me first.
No, I mean, you know, everybody, if you're listening to Branded, we're, I don't know, 87 episodes in. Actually, what is this? Maybe 48, like 40, 49.
40 something. Yeah, yeah. Just below 50.
Yeah, whatever. We're hundreds of episodes in. So you know who Sarah is, and you know what we at Branded are all about. And it's all about building personal brands, professional brands, and bringing more awareness to your content, your business, and really just everything that you do. And that is writing a book. You know, we look at ourselves, we go, oh, who am I to write a book? Who am I to put something on Amazon and be an Amazon number one bestseller, or be a New York Times bestseller, or just have a book that tells your story, that gives you that credibility, that is really that social proof that we're looking for to reinforce that brand message. And this particular episode of the podcast is, it is all about Sarah, but it's all about Sarah and the fact that her book is on the verge of coming out. And she wrote an amazing book. It has a very unique title. I'm going to let her share that, that I have the utmost respect for. I love it to death. And I just think it's amazing. You know, I released a book a couple months ago, but we already talked about that. And I used ChatGPT to write the most of it. But Sarah actually took the time to think and actually put her thoughts and her stories and her emotion and her brand on each and every page of this book. And then she put a call to action as the name of the book. The name of her book that's coming out is called Open This Book. And Sarah's going to share with her insights and her inspiration and the stories behind what lettered the book and the stories that are in the book that can lead you to doing the exact same thing.
I think that about covered it. So thanks for listening. This is Branded.
I'm on a tangent today. I'm in presenter mode because I just came off of Podfest is doing their AI conference right now, their virtual AI conference. And I presented just a couple of hours ago. So I'm still on stage.
You are. You're always on stage. But no, that was the nicest intro for my book. Thank you. You are credited on the acknowledgments page for someone who is super, super supportive and helpful with me getting this book done. But I love what you said in that intro about, like, who am I to have a book? And that, I mean, there's a whole chapter in the book about that and how we all have imposter syndrome. But the concept of my book is Open This Book, The Art of Storytelling for Aspiring Thought Leaders. And it is talking about how we tell our stories and why we tell our stories, but in the context of thought leadership. And I feel like one of the reasons we have that feeling of, like, who am I to do this? Who am I to be a quote unquote thought leader? Is for, like, I think people seem to think that a thought leader thinks that everyone in the world needs to hear them. And that's so not true. Like, thought leadership isn't about everyone stop and listen to me. It's about I have something to say and the people who do need to hear it are going to find it. Like, my audience isn't every single person. I don't think everyone's going to read my book. I don't think everyone's going to benefit from my book. But there are a few people out there who do want to tell better stories, who do want to be able to have those connections with people from the stage or on a podcast. And those people will benefit from reading it. I don't need the whole world to read it. And I think that's kind of a misconception. It's like, just because you're sharing your thoughts, sharing your stories, you don't have this idea that everyone needs to hear it.
It's the same thing with a podcast. I mean, yeah. We talk to people all the time that are like, who's going to listen to my podcast? Or, I'm only getting 50 downloads an episode. It's the same concept to your book. Yeah. You know, if you have 50 people listening to your podcast, you're influencing 50 people. If you're standing in that room, and we have that analogy that we use all the time, where if you're standing in a room of 50 people and you're telling your story, do you feel like that's a big audience? And I promise you, 99.9% of the people listening to this podcast going, oh my God, standing in front of 50 people would be insane. I can't even imagine.
Like, people seem to picture that audience in like the context of like an arena, and wow, the first row is barely even full. But think about it, like, you're sitting in your living room. If you have 50 people in your living room, there's not, like, it's standing room only. People are bumping into each other. It is uncomfortably crowded.
You live in a big house, because my living room will not hold 50.
Oh, my, people will be like on people's shoulders. It's not that big. But it actually makes me think, one of the clients, the podcasts that we produce is called Health Marketing Collective. And they had a guest on talking about social media in the context of health marketing. And he said that you don't need to reach the entire internet or the entire world. You just have to find your people and make that little corner of the internet a happy place for them. And I really love that quote. I think that was a really great episode that they did. But that's really true. It's not about reaching everybody. It's about reaching the people who want to hear what you have to say.
Well, and it's the same thing with your book, right? I mean, you're looking for people that want to understand the power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that's a very unique niche. It's a very focused niche. And you demonstrate throughout the book a variety of different ways to tell those stories. And you share some of your very unique stories as well throughout the book. But that's what makes it so relatable, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting book to write, because it's like part book, part journal, part like memoir. Because it really is, I'm telling you that you need to tell your stories, and I'm telling you about the different ways to tell them and what to include and how to tell them. And if I were to just tell you that, then I'm not doing what I'm teaching. Because my whole idea is, if you want to teach the masses something, you need to do it through a story, or else you're not going to be remembered and you're not going to connect. So the whole book, almost every example, like some of them I pull from like stories we've all heard, or some like pop culture references and stuff. But for the most part, they are my stories. And some of them are silly. Some of them aren't. Like, it's not, I'm 28 years old. I haven't been through everything, as Lisa was certain to point out.
Man, I'm only 28. Lisa, poor Lisa. Lisa effed up. Okay, Lisa effed up.
It's been like 6 months
since Lisa effed up at a conference, and Lisa's she's getting it for sure. But in all honesty, it's interesting that you kind of presented it that way. Okay, you used the word memoir, which at the same time you said you're 28, and memoir and 28, those two typically don't go hand in hand, because a lot of It's difficult to conceptualize a memoir when you're 28. So tell us a little bit more. And, you know, you're very brave. I'll use the word brave to use that terminology at the age that you are to share your stories. So tell us and share with us how you empowered yourself to feel confident to use that terminology and not let a number define whether or not that terminology is applicable.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is like memoirs are like, people confuse memoir and autobiography. An autobiography is about your entire life. It's start to finish, this is my life. And those are always written by old people, basically, because they're telling the story of their whole life. A memoir is really just about like one chunk of your life. Like, let's go deep into detail about this part of your life. And so for the book, the part of my life is my 20s. And the reason I wrote it this way was because I had one specific story that taught me everything I learned in this book, basically. We've all heard the story. It's the stupid tattoo story that I told to Joe Salcihi way back in the day, and everything kind of changed from there. But it's that story taught me what I needed to know about the importance of storytelling and how to tell stories. And if it taught me that, I figured it could teach it to everybody else. So it would almost feel unnatural for me to try to find a different way to teach it. It's I'm trying to do this from a place of authenticity. So why, if I learned it through this story, this experience that I had, what am I going to do instead? Just go and like research other ways I could have learned this and teach it that way. Like, it just didn't make sense. So I'd rather use my experiences and let people know that it's okay to share silly stories. It's okay to share like emotional stories. As long as you're getting to the goal that you have, just tell it, because someone's going to want to hear it. And the way that you tell it is going to make you memorable, and it's going to make you have that impact.
That's a great testament to exactly what you did to write your book. And I love that. And I think it'll inspire a lot of people that are listening right now as well. Kind of give some insight, Sarah, because I mean, you took, we'll call it the scenic route. And I call it the scenic route because you wrote it from a traditional perspective. So give us a little bit of insight into that creative process and in that writing process. How can people that are listening right now learn from you and write their own book?
Yeah, it has been a pretty long, I think it's, we're in April now. I think I started it around April last year. So it's been about a year that I've been doing this. And that's honestly, from what I've heard from other people, that's not even that long. But it's also not a very long book. It's not a novel. It's just a 200-page little book that I wrote. But it started... it's just a little book. There's pages and words and stuff. It's just, you know, it is what it is.
And when you put it on the desk, it makes a thud.
It has a spine, but there's words on it. It's a book.
and hold on now. That's, I almost cussed because I took that as a personal dig.
I didn't mean it to be.
You said, oh, it's got a spine. And when I, quote unquote, wrote my book, and I did write chapter 3, thank you very much. When I wrote my book, that was my goal.
It was just to have a spine.
I wanted to make sure it was thick enough to have a spine where you could see the title and my name and my little red hat logo. So having the spine was absolutely critical to me. But my approach was totally
that different. Was not meant to be a dig at you, I promise. It was really because I went around to different bookstores in my area to see if like they would carry my book or if I could do some kind of like book event at their store, and every single one asks, does it have a spine? Because that is one of the criteria for actually being in a physical bookstore. Like any book, basically, if you go through the right channels, you can be on Barnes & Noble's website because it's just a very similar process as Amazon. But to actually be in their store, one of the main criteria is it has to have a spine. So that is why I said it, I promise.
Yes. But no, you're right, because you have to have that spine there, because most of the books, you know, they're in there with the spine facing out. Mm-hmm. Some books will be highlighted with the covers facing out, but primarily, you know, they're just like in a library. All you see is the spine of the book. So,
that is definitely something that you need. So promise it was not a personal attack.
Oh, it was a personal attack. I'm feeling so attacked.
One of the things that I learned through the process, though, is just you cannot give yourself a deadline. That was my biggest lesson with this book, is not to give myself a deadline, because I had one. It was like October. And that meant I had to have the book, like the draft done in like late August if I wanted everything done. And that did not happen.
Well, we're only in April. We're on May. Is it May? I don't know.
It's April, going on May. All right. Book release date is April 25th because it is the perfect date.
Share with me again why that's the perfect date.
Because it's not too hot, not too cold. You only need a light jacket.
Okay. All right. And that is a reference from
Miss Congeniality.
There you go. Miss Congeniality, man. And that's what
people will get it.
That's what kills me, is it doesn't seem like, and I haven't looked at the actual release date of Miss Congeniality, but you use that so often. And I'm like, I don't even know if you were born when that movie came out.
I think I was. I think it was early 2000s.
Was it early 2000s?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But anyways, no, great movie. But
well, it's officially Miss Congeniality Day, April 25th.
Is it really?
It is, because of that. Just like October 3rd is Mean Girls Day. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Learn something new every day.
But I did give myself that deadline. And you probably remember, I was like, here, I have a book. It's done. And then I read it back. I'm like, what am I thinking? This is not good. It wasn't, there was not enough content. There was not enough stories, not enough information. It was just, I was so desperate to be like, I need to have this out. And then I threw that deadline away and I gave myself more months and I was rewriting this up until literally actually yesterday. I got the final proofread back from my publisher. And while I was going in to put in the changes, I was like, oh, wait, no, I don't like this either. I'm going to rewrite this section. So don't give yourself a deadline. Like, you just need to, I know it's going to sound lame, but like, wait, like, to be hit by the inspiration and just follow your own timeline. Because if you try to force it, it's not going to be what you want it to be.
See, and I totally dig that and totally respect that. But on the flip side of that challenge coin, if you're not watching, I literally just flipped a challenge coin over. A lot of times, too, you just have to do it and you have to put it out there. If I look at the book that I just released a couple months ago, sure, there's things I would have done differently. There's more information I would have provided. There's more personal stories I would have included. But at the same time, I wouldn't have a book out as I sit here right now. So it really just depends on your perspective and what your goals are for your book. There's no right or wrong way either way. In my personal opinion, Sarah, you may differ, but I don't think that there's necessarily a wrong approach. The one thing that I think Sarah and I both can agree on, whether it's our approach or whatever it may be, is the power of having a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just having a book on anything, it just automatically puts you on another level.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna dial that back a little bit too. Maybe not anything, because I did write a book 5 years ago on podcasting, and that book didn't do shit for me. So.
But no, don't say that, because ever since then, what has been in your bio? Amazon best-selling author.
Yeah, Amazon number one best-selling author. Because
It did something.
Okay, it did that. But you know what's so funny is that I developed a bit of a patronizing approach to an Amazon number one bestseller, because I didn't even play the game with my latest book. I didn't even care, because I realized, and I learned, I didn't realize, someone taught me that it's really just a game. And anybody can be an Amazon number one bestseller with almost anything. You put out a little ebook. And if you position it properly and you understand the algorithm behind it, you can take your little ebook. And I say that patronizingly, but at the same time, I've been writing ebooks like a madman, and Sarah will attest to that. I've got ebooks for everything that's AI proof. So definitely copycat. Yes, Sarah definitely inspired me to do that. But I guess you're right. If I really wanted to leverage that as an Amazon number one bestseller, I definitely could. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's funny, and we're going to tell a little story here. It's so funny when you learn something about an industry that you used to just respect, you used to be in awe of, and then you learn the behind the scenes, and you go, oh, man.
It's pulling back the curtain, and the wizard is just some weird man.
100%. I remember just as a wee pup in my early 20s when I was selling cars, man, I thought car sales was just it was the pinnacle, and I would work my backside off, and I was salesman of the month after month, just this 21, 22 year old pup out there outselling these old men that have been in the industry forever. And they used to make fun of me left and right. It was whatever. But as I got more involved in the industry and I started seeing the back office of the industry, I was like, hold on now. I'm making X, but they're making X
times a lot.
And I'm like, why am I doing all the work in there getting all the pay? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, it wasn't quite as glamorous as the extra. And this is, again, this is 91, 92, 93. It was pretty glamorous back then. And it was my first quote unquote real job where I actually had a business card. So I knew I was official. I was like, oh my God, I'm so professional. I have a business card. But once I started seeing behind the scenes, it lost its shine. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Amazon number one bestseller thing. Once I saw how it worked, it lost its shine. But it doesn't matter whether or not some process has a shine or some glamour appeal to it, having a book and even having that particular title, it still does so much to reinforce your brand and give insane credibility to you, your brand, and your business. So regardless of whether you play the Amazon number one bestseller game or whatever it is that you're trying to do, having a book is invaluable.
It really is. And what you're saying with like back in the 90s and pulling back the curtain on the industry, like the car industry, that's even like something I feel now, because when I was just starting out in this industry and I would go to conferences, any person standing on that stage with a mic in their hand, I'm just like, this person, like, I need to sit down and shut up and listen, because they must be, they're probably famous. I just haven't heard of them because I'm sheltered. Like, they, I'm sure that they are multimillionaires, all of this. Fast forward, what, 2 years, and I'm on that stage.
And you met me, and then you got to know me, and you went like, holy shit, this guy's what?
Yeah. But seriously, it's like, I look at those people just like, they must be experts. They immediately have my respect. But then I'm on those stages and I'm like, oh wait, this wasn't that hard. Like, they just applied. And not to say that anyone that's speaking at these conferences isn't worth like all that respect and everything. Of course they are, but it makes it feel a little differently when you're one of them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I don't remember who said it, but it's like, I don't want to be a part of any club that would have me. Like, it kind of lost its shine once they let me in. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I think that goes, man, that's opening up a whole nother avenue of conversation. We need to go back and revisit imposter syndrome again, I think, or something along those lines.
That's, I think that's chapter 7.
There you go. So, maybe, Sarah, after we do this recording, you go back and you read chapter 7 of
Should I read my book?
Maybe. That might be helpful.
It's chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
All right. Starts on page 51.
There you go. Chapter 4, page 51. Imposter syndrome. Clubs still have value, even if Sarah is a member. So.
It's so true, though. Like, you didn't feel the same way. Like, you didn't go to conferences and be like, wow. And then you're on the stage and you're like,
this. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I do. I mean, all day, every day, every conference I go to. It's very, very difficult to keep that shine on whatever it is that you're doing, you know, once you do it. And I mean, we'll take it back even further. We'll go back to the karate days, and I've probably shared this before, but you get that black belt and you're thinking, man, if I'm a black belt, I'm gonna be the cat daddy and everybody's gonna love me and it's gonna be awesome and I'm gonna be the pinnacle of life. It's gonna be great. And then you get that black belt, you're like, oh, okay. Oh, this is cool. Well, when I get that second degree black belt, it's going to be the shit.
Wait, it gets blacker?
No, it doesn't necessarily. The shades, you know, you just get a stripe. You get an extra stripe on the belt. You know, every rank gets you an extra stripe on that belt. So, you know, you keep looking for the next thing. You keep looking for the next thing.
It's a hedonistic treadmill.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds interesting.
Google it.
I'll have to, because I have no idea what a hedonistic trend. I mean, when I think hedonism, isn't that like a conference for nudists or something? I don't know what that is.
Hedonism is the search for like just joy, pleasure, all of that.
Okay.
And the hedonistic treadmill is like, once you get it, then you just want something else. So you're just like constantly moving. It never stops.
Okay.
You never get to a destination. It's just
And you're doing it naked.
If you want.
Okay. All right. But anyways, I got way off track there. Anyway, that's the whole point. But again, we had some fun with this conversation. But the book is something that I think is critically important to us taking part in and writing. And Sarah's done that. It's getting ready to come out on the perfect day. And Sarah wrote it in what she would consider the perfect way. And, you know, I'm just here to go through the day. So, well, I don't know. I'm rapping now. So
anyways. Something like that.
Something like that.
But yes, my book does come out today. Is the 23rd, I want to say. And my book comes out on the 25th, so this Thursday, and it will be everywhere, including Amazon, of course, or you can find it on openthisbook.com. that just got real salesy, but hey, go buy my book.
With that, I know you'll get a lot of value out of Sarah's book. I know she got a lot of value out of writing the book, and I got a lot of value in watching her journey through that process. And hopefully you can buy her book, get some value out of the book, come back to us, tell us all about it. But we really appreciate you listening, and hopefully you learned a little bit of something here, and we've inspired you to write your book.
So, or open mine.
Or even open hers. That'd be great too. So 2 days from now, on the 25th, open Sarah's book. So with that, do us a favor. If you like this episode, hit that subscribe button so we can bring you this episode and many, many more each and every week. And with that, I'm Larry Roberts.
And I'm Sarah Lucy, and we'll talk to you next week.